You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
I guess down in New York, Conor McGregor's causing a scene. UFC 229 in about a week and a half.
Laren Bronstetter just tweeted out, "I've never seen Conor McGregor amped up like this." Wasn't the guy throwing water bottles at one of his pressers? Like,
well, he gets jacked up at every single presser, but he
threw a dolly through a window.
Right. That wasn't his own press conference. That was in Brooklyn for somebody else's
fight. Dana White come out and say, "This guy, we're going to get him in jail. He'll never be a part of this again." That's all a publicity.
It's all about the promotion. It's all about the promotion. Like, Dana White was on ESPN today, and he said that Conor McGregor is the greatest UFC fighter of all time. And it's because he's trying to promote a fight. You know, and that's what these guys do. They're in the business of promotion, and they do it very, very well.
So what's this fight he's got coming up?
He's fighting a guy, Khabib is his name. He's a Russian guy who is tough as nails. I don't pretend to be Mr. UFC and Mr. MMA, but Conor McGregor intrigues me.
Where's this going down? Vegas, apparently?
Yeah, I believe it's in Vegas.
Yeah, the guy he's fighting looks like he could do some damage.
Do some serious damage. Yeah, it's in Vegas, October 6th. So that's Canadian Thanksgiving, that weekend. That's Saturday night. Leafs are playing Ottawa that night at home. I might have to get to the Maple Leaf game and then get out and catch that card, because not very often do I come across a UFC card where I'm like, I have to see it.
Well, this is going to be a legit fight.
Absolutely.
Like, this isn't going to be,
Like McGregor may have bitten off more than he can chew. Like, that's what he's going up against in this one.
I'd really like to see that dust up.
This is Rocky versus Drago. So, we'll see. Maybe we can get some audio on what's going on down there. But McGregor's just going crazy, which is what you would expect.
He's very good at PR. Regardless of what you think of him, like, he's a show. He's a walking sideshow.
From that standpoint, there's nobody that I've witnessed that's been better. You know, if you talk to MMA freaks, a lot of people will say John Jones is the greatest of all time. Like, he's unbeatable when he's on his game. And there was some John Jones news yesterday. His suspension's been reduced. He's had a lot of problems. He's been busted for everything.
Yeah, like, he had some...
He's constantly suspended. Constantly suspended. But when he's healthy and he's motivated and he's in the octagon, it's over. GSP would be on a short list. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of great fighters, but what McGregor brings to the table is an entertainment value that you just can't find anywhere else.
I just like the way he walks in. Like, he knows he owns the building. Like, you just... And I think it bothers people because there's such an amount of arrogance with it. But he can back it up.
Yes. Well, he does. Like, he's got two belts. He's got two different weight classes that he owns the belt for. And I guess he walked into the presser. He's got, like, a maroon suit on, no shirt, holding both belts around each shoulder, yelling at people. He's got some new whiskey line he brought, like, two bottles. And he's trying to give this guy, Khabib, a shot. And he wants him to kind of get into the party atmosphere.
That's hilarious.
Anyway,
he's a beauty.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight. I'm looking forward to that one. So I heard Fergie reference this in his SportsCenter update, that DeMar DeRozan sent out a tweet in the 4 p.m. hour: revenge is a dish best served cold. And it's open to interpretation. Everyone's wondering, is that a shot at Masai? Is it a shot at the Raptors, at the city, the team? Could it be about any beef? Could it be about anything in his personal life? Or could it be just a saying that he likes and he decided, you know what, we're on the eve of camp and I'm going to throw this out? I don't know what the interpretation is. But it's going to be a storyline all year.
Yeah.
How DeRozan fits in San Antonio, and more so, and more importantly, in our market, how Kawhi Leonard fits in here in Toronto. Because with the Jimmy Butler stuff, which we talked about yesterday, he wants out. He's demanded a trade out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Immediately, he gets linked to the Clippers. I guess three teams he'd like to go to and sign an extension, but the Clippers appear to be the front runner. And the reports came out last night, that's because Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard are going to go to the Clippers. And it's like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Like, even if the best insider in the game is reporting that, where are you getting this, that Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler are 100% going to sign with the Clippers? Like, who's telling you that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, you took some
issue. You said there were boys, didn't you?
No, I said Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler are boys. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard has a friend in the whole league, the way that he kind of interacts. I don't know. But you took issue in the previous hour with Ian O'Connor, who came on, who's writing this book about Belichick and breaking news about how Brady feels without actually getting
hearsay.
What's this? You know, we're going to have to deal with this all year. Kawhi and Jimmy Butler are going to team up with the Clippers. Says who?
Right. I don't think it's... I don't like it because it's just hearsay. Like, there's so many... How many times have we had to deal with a rumor on this show? Sources say, or this guy said this. I mean, Joe from the Bridge was just talking about Nylander's ask. What's his ask? We don't know.
Nobody really knows. You know, you hear from the league, but William Nylander hasn't come out and said anything.
Right. But where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, are they looking 1 year ahead? Is Kawhi saying, yeah, I'm going to go to Toronto for a year. I'll meet you down in L.A. in a year.
I find that hard to believe. What I think has happened here in the NBA is NBA reporting has gone off the deep end in terms of connecting the dots. That's all it ever is. This team's got cap space, so what's going to happen is they have two max contracts they can offer. Those two guys are going to go there.
Right.
And that was basically how it was reported last night. The Clippers have the inside track on this. Based on what? Because they have cap space? Okay, the Raptors are going to have cap space.
Yeah.
A lot of teams can have cap space. You know, Detroit could have cap space. Minnesota's going to have cap space.
Did you ever see Toronto being in one of those destination choices, one of three teams? Yeah, the Raptors are one of them.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, what the point I'm getting to here, and I'm sounding like a bitter Torontonian, but
Toronto's had a quality team the last several years, and do you ever hear a report of so-and-so's dying to get once traded and Toronto's one?
But you know what? LeBron's out of Cleveland now.
Yeah,
that's
Cleveland's
where I think it's wide open.
But no one's saying I want to go to Cleveland.
LeBron was in Cleveland. I don't think anybody come out with a list.
No one was going there.
No.
Kyrie Irving demanded out. You know, so it's New York and L.A. and Miami. Like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, guys, if they have their choice, they're like, I'd like to be in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Like to be in Miami. I understand that. But
Houston just kind of developed the team and the personnel where that kind of came on the list. But
right. But, you know, I don't think this upcoming season with the courtship of Kawhi Leonard, this will not be a referendum on Toronto. It'll be a referendum on the NBA, maybe the Raptors' reputation. There's a lot at stake here with Masai. He's got to sell Kawhi on sticking around and why he would want to stick around. But brace yourself for it because it's going to be happening all year.
Well, it's going to be rumblings. And it's almost, I mean, it's a guy going in unrestricted free agency. He's going to hear about it every day. See, Mark Stone, that yesterday he snapped on
Louis Jean.
Yeah, Louis Jean. Never heard of this guy. Why is he saying this? Like, you know, that's the thing. Like, where is that reporter hearing this? Or where is he? Like, a reporter just doesn't grab that out of thin ice or thin air and make that up.
Well, I think, to be fair to Louis Jean, I think he circled back on Twitter and said, hey, just to clarify it, I'm saying if they don't get their act together, he's going to leave. It's the same kind of connecting the dots reporting.
But that's not what he said. Didn't his comment say Mark Stone's had it here and he wants out?
No, I don't believe so. What I think happened was there was a broken telephone and someone went to Stone and said, hey, Mark, Louis Jean saying you don't want to be here.
Well, I understand.
That's not fair to Louis Jean if he didn't say that.
Apparently, it was his website that kind of, like, it was almost like the, what is that, clickbait? Mm-hmm. It was the headline. Stone wants out of Ottawa.
Which is on the editors.
But that's where, you know, you get your online person, editor.
Well, that's how you get people to, you know, newsflash, clickbait actually works. There's a reason it happens.
So Louis Jean probably had to deal with people in-house. But then, I mean, it was like wildfire at our morning skate yesterday. And then as soon as Stone came off the ice, he was asked about it. And then Louis Jean, I think, took exception thinking that it was like our guys asking it. It wasn't. It was somebody else in the scrum. I think it was like Henny or somebody. Like, it was, I don't know. It was.
Well, I mean, if it's a legitimate report, then it's worthy of being asked.
So
let's be honest. When Kawhi Leonard actually shows his face in Toronto and steps in front of the media, the fan base, I can already predict what's going to happen here. Fans are not going to be happy because fans want his life to be easy. No complication, make him love Toronto, make it easy on him. But from a journalistic standpoint, you have an obligation, if you're in the scrum, to ask him, do you want to be here?
Yeah.
How did you feel about coming to Toronto? Like, that's coming. So, Kawhi, you can run for as long as you want, but at some point, you've got to answer the question.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of answer he's going to give. But if you've if you know anything about journalism, you know that that's a question that 100% has to be asked.
We'll be dissecting the answer. If there's a pause,
yes. Didn't he have comments like he made fun of Toronto or poked fun at it in the like years
maybe
past,
in the
calling
past,
it a stupid ass country or I don't know.
Really, I never heard that.
But that's the thing. You start digging into somebody's past. That 8 years ago, they said something like, to me, it should be a clean slate. Let them come here. Let them play.
You got to answer some questions.
You're going to have to answer questions.
Same thing in
Ottawa. That's your professional obligation.
Yes. The team's a tire fire. You can't be thrown off when people ask you about what's going on.
And you have an expiring contract.
Yes.
Like, this is the business. Okay, if you want to stay in Ottawa, if you're Mark Stone, if you want to stay in Toronto, if you're Kawhi Leonard, well, extensions are around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Until you actually sign, then...
Then you're going to be the topic of... And it's the same thing. Matt Duchene's going to have to go through it in Ottawa and throughout the pro sports world. That's how it works.
Right.
I don't know why people get so worked up about it.
Well, I think, again, Louis Jean, and I don't pretend to know everything about this guy's reporting, but I think what he was doing was connecting dots that anybody could connect.
Right.
If it's a tire fire, Mark Stone is going to want out. Yeah. I think we'd all say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same kind of journalism that's applying in the NBA. Well, this is a spot that people like to go to, and they've got an opening, so they've got the inside track.
Right.
Well, who's saying that? Is anyone? Are you quoting the Clippers? Are you quoting Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler? Where are you getting this from?
Well, isn't the old saying like, well, they say this. Well, who's they?
People are saying.
People are saying. Okay,
people are saying that this is what's going to happen.
Well, who's the people?
I don't know.
Name me. So.
So, Max Domi got himself in some...
Some hot water?
Yeah, some hot water last night at the Bell Center. And if you haven't seen it or heard about it, he popped Aaron Ekblad. He gave him a pretty good shot. Like, they were kind of jostling, and then Domi dropped his glove, and it connected. It got him right on the nose. It didn't break his nose.
But it bloodied it.
Nose pretty significantly.
I thought the way he acted, Ekblad, like he was gaining his senses after he was popped, because it came up bleeding, and you know, we had talked about it in the last hour. Is he has had prior concussions, but he's been deemed 100%.
Yes, and I guess Claude Julien tried to give some background on what could have happened here with Ekblad and Domi, or what could have led to that scenario last night. Here's what Julien said today.
There's no doubt Max regrets what he did last night. Those two have been playing against each other since junior hockey, and he crossed a line, and he's paying for it now. At the same time, it doesn't make Max a bad person, because I think he was the first one to admit that, I shouldn't have done that.
So, you know, the devil in the details are Julien suggesting it's a carryover from their junior days, and they have a history.
Right.
Although, I mean, that's what Ty and Rob Ray used to say. We'd fight in junior. It's not the same, clearly.
Right.
Aaron Ekblad and Max Domi. But he got suspended for the rest of the rest of the preseason. Yeah. No regular season games, so he's not going to lose any money. He's not going to miss out on any legitimate games that actually count.
Yeah, I still believe, Ryan, that it hurts him on a lot of different fronts. Like, personally, Max Domi, because...
Didn't you like those comments from the coach, though? Like, he's just saying he feels bad about it. He did something stupid, and he's missing the preseason.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying Max Domi is missing the preseason, but he's in a new organization. He needs to try and develop some chemistry with Drouin. Like, there's so many different things that this has hurt him on. Yeah, it was a dumb play. Shouldn't have done it. You know, I'm sure there is regret today, but... Yeah, you know, this isn't good for the start of your new career.
You're trying to get acclimated to Montreal.
Exactly.
Like, we've heard people use the David Clarkson comparison, and there are similarities there, because Clarkson was in a new spot. He stepped over the line,
people
which Domi did
Wendell
last
Clarkson.
Night.
Remember, it was
trying to make an impact. Yeah. I think the fact that it was at the Bell Center factored into Domi's emotions, and I'm not condoning them. I'm just saying I'm trying to reason with maybe how it got to that point. Same thing with Clarkson. He jumped over the boards at the ACC. I don't think he does that in Buffalo and chases John Scott around.
I'm not sure the fans in Montreal, Bobby Mack would probably know better, but I don't think it's going to be one of those things where they think Max Domi's a hero for doing this.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
And I don't think he should be considered a hero.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, where if it was Philadelphia or something, they would be like, oh, this guy's tough and
right.
it means business and we love him.
Yeah, it's a different market.
I don't really think that the Montreal fans would be thinking that.
Well, we'll get to Bobby Mack. We'll see what he has to say about the incident, the suspension, how he feels like Montreal is going to react to this, and his take on Leafs sends last night and who stood out for him, and Leafs back in action tomorrow night. Bob McKenzie will join us next. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update.
In town, Victoria Park, north of Girard, we got a collision on the go. And in Thornhill, Dufferin and Center Street, Regional Police reporting a collision on the go here. Those are the only two issues we've got on the go in town and across our majors. We're trouble-free. Looking for high quality and great value for your next vehicle? Then hurry into Mitsubishi Motors 2018 model year clear out for incredible offers on most vehicles. MitsubishiMotors.ca. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Eleni Stamatatos.
First up with Michael Landsberg and former Leaf Carlo Colaiacovo every weekday morning from 6 to 10 and only on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, will join us here in just a moment. He was on the panel last night. You guys kind of knocking the dust off last night.
Who had the C?
Quality
on?
Panel work.
Did you put a C on your suit?
I was the captain.
I didn't.
We were promoting the quiz.
What does that have to captain. Do with you being the captain, though?
No, it's just...
I think McKenzie would be the captain.
Of the panel?
Of the panel, for
yeah,
sure.
For sure.
Him
he
or
is
Duffy,
the captain
right?
of the panel. Duffy. If he says we're not doing something, we don't do it.
Okay. Here's Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. Can you corroborate that take, Bob?
All I know is I was like one of those kids that went home and put the C on his own sweater.
Sewed it on backwards.
There was always one guy on the team that would put the C on his own sweater.
Well, I mean, self-confidence never hurt, right?
The only time I ever lost it on a coach is when I finally earned an A. I got an A sewed, like, it's a big deal. It's like, finally, you're an assistant captain. You're part of the leadership core. That night, I took a penalty, and I broke my stick in half over the glass. Gone
took
the next
A
day.
Off?
No. One day I had it. I sprinted into Paul Maurice's office, and I called him every name in the book, and I just walked out.
Is that the only time? Did you, outside of NHL, you must have had a letter when you were a kid playing?
Oh, yeah. I was a captain everywhere.
That's what I figured. Okay. I was worried there for a second that you were so deprived your whole life that when you finally got an A and Mo took it off you that you went snap show.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a red flag, though, if you were never a letter? Best player in the league.
Well, I had a difficult getting a letter, anything. Brian, because I was 13 years old playing midget.
Yeah,
I was 14 years old playing junior B, and then 15 playing in the O. It's not like letters come around that often.
Yeah, exactly. O wasn't just the best player around. He wasn't just the best player in his area. He was the best player in Canada for his age.
There you go.
That's saying something.
Why didn't you write that in the hockey news?
Yeah, I thought that was, remember...
By the time he got to his draft year, that was all ancient history.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the scouting report? Like, can disappear in a game or
very
something?
Very inconsistent.
Inconsistent.
Yeah. Not a specimen.
Not captain material.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was a part of the breakdown.
Bobby, we were talking about Max Domi and what, you know, if it was in Philadelphia, the fans would be like, this guy's a hero.
Yeah.
But what do you think the reaction of the Montreal people would be to that?
Yeah, you know what? I think if you were to stereotype fans, and that's always a bit of a danger, but I think generally if you were to stereotype Montreal Canadian fans, in large part, they wouldn't love that, I don't think. And I'm not sure, you know... But like you say, some fan bases probably would. In Philly, they go, yeah, good. Sure. In Philly, they'd say, hey, Ekblad should have fought him. You know, come on. But in Montreal, I don't think they would. I think the majority of Montreal Canadian fans would say, you know what? We don't like that. That's not the way we think the game should be played. And its game certainly changed. I mean, you know, from many years ago, And we used to have Wardo on the panel, and we used to joke about it all the time, but he got into it with Scotty Walker. And now, in his case, he was probably trying to antagonize Scotty just a little bit. But even so, he didn't want to fight Scotty Walker, but he had to know that back in those days, 10 years ago or whatever it was, that Scotty Walker is going to drop the gloves and pound you, and you better protect yourself or get into that mode. But the game has changed so much since that play happened that, you know, nobody's saying Aaron Ekblad. And I haven't heard anybody. And if they have, I think the game's just changed. If you don't want to fight, you don't have to fight anymore, and you're not expected to. And Ekblad wanted nothing to do with him, and Domi needed to and should have realized that and just backed off. And I saw Claude Julien's comment today, and I think he was trying to defend Domi, and it actually, in my mind, made it a little bit worse. He goes, well, you know, there's some history there, some stuff going back to junior hockey. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not good.
No.
Because now it looks like it's even more premeditated as opposed to just a spur-of-the-moment thing where you kind of got slashed a little bit in the corner from Ekblad and you're ticked off and you want him to go and he doesn't want to go, so you pop him. And then you find out, well, they've had a running battle back to junior hockey, which kind of even probably makes it a little bit worse. And not that the suspension counts for anything, because it doesn't.
Well, I think this example really amplifies the crossroads that the NHL is presented with here, because you're right. I mean, it's not 1978 anymore. If you don't want to fight, you shouldn't have to fight. Fans don't expect you to fight. The media certainly doesn't expect you to fight. And I don't think the NHL wants to promote this. They shouldn't promote it. They don't promote it. But I'm not convinced, Bob, that internally the reaction to what happened last night matches what we're seeing on social media and from the fans and, moreover, from the media. And what I mean by that is I think there's probably people, and I don't know this, obviously, for certain, but I'm guessing, there's probably people in the Florida organization that didn't like what they saw last night, not because of what Max Domi did, but what happened with Aaron Ekblad. And they would look at it, the old school hockey guys would say, you're 6'4", 220, and you let that guy pop you like that? And that's the crossroads the league is dealing with here, because publicly they want to put forth a front. But I'm not convinced everyone that actually makes the decisions in the game feels that way.
No, I think you're probably right to some extent, although I think it's with each passing year it becomes more and more of a minority, and maybe at some point a minuscule minority that feel like that. But there's no doubt. And there are some fans that feel that way. There are some fans that feel like, hey, if a guy grabs you by the sweater and starts ragdolling you and scruffing your face with the glove of it, you know, you should defend yourself or go. But the values or the norms of the game have changed. Some people would say for the better. Some people would say for the worse. But, you know, if Max Domi had to know that what he was doing was in 2018 going on 19, he's 100% in the wrong, and Ekblad's 100% in the right. And you know, Ekblad, he's got a concussion history, not a good one. You know, that's a dangerous play for him, and he probably doesn't want to get involved in extracurriculars in a preseason game, an early preseason game at that. So, you know, and then it comes back to the punishment isn't a punishment at all. And, you know, the National Hockey League's got to do something to address that. You know, they put the same similar value on preseason games as they do on regular season games. But we also know that when there's a suspension in the playoffs, they do the exact opposite. And they say, it's playoffs. It's really important. So nobody knows what exactly the factor is, but it's like 2-1 or 3-1 or 4-1 or something like that. You get a one-game suspension and it happens to be a game 6 or a game 7, an elimination game, that quite often is worth 3-4 games in the regular season. Now, there are a lot of people who think that's just asinine, that, you know, a game is a game is a game, and if you get 3 games during the regular season for a penalty, for an infraction, you should get 3 games in the playoffs. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I also understand the rationale for rational human beings who say a game is a game is a game. If you're in the NFL, I mean, they usually only get one game suspensions in the NFL as a rule, unless it's something off field. But, you know, a game in October is one game. Well, if you're suspended for a game in January, it might be the end of your season. They don't worry about that. And in the National Hockey League, they do have those factors that go into it. But for preseason, it should work the opposite way. It should work, well, you know what? These games mean pretty much diddly squat. It's a penalty for Montreal. Montreal wanted to see how Max Domi was going to was going to play as a center in the preseason games. These were important games for them to try and get a read and a beat on what he can do in the middle of the ice with Drew Ann and whoever they decide to play on the other wing. And now they don't get to do that.
Bobby, that's a whole different story. I mean, why do they want to try it with Max Domi? Drew Ann's a similar player. They tried it with him, same body type, whatever. I mean, you can't go up against Barkov, Matthews, Bergeron, Eichel. What the hell are they thinking trying it the next year with Domi?
Any port in the storm, because if it's not him, it's Philip Deneau or Thomas Plekanec or Jacob DeLaRose or Matthew Pekka.
Well, that's an embarrassment. I'm sorry. You're telling me you couldn't have found a couple guys to patchwork guy? I don't know.
Bergevin's been looking for it for a long time, you presume.
They've got the kids coming, but they probably aren't ready. Kotkaniemi's a really good prospect. Nick Suzuki may be real close here. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if it's the smartest thing in the world to play a 19-year-old in the center of the ice for Montreal when you're not as well insulated with guys above you and below you in the lineup that especially if you're defined as the high skill guy. So that's why Domi's in the middle for now anyways, to see how it goes. But like you say, that's the number one problem in Montreal.
I would have flat out said no if they said, think about you. No, I haven't played centerman for the last 15 years. Why do you think that in the best league in the world that all of a sudden I'm just going to start playing center? What's wrong with you?
Mind you, he did take 400 faceoffs last year, and he did play some center in Arizona, not a lot, and played some center in junior hockey and certainly minor hockey. But nevertheless, your point's well taken. That's a glaring weakness for the Montreal Canadiens. Although some would start looking at their defense and saying, when you've got a top three defense that's Jeff Petrie and 20-year-old Victor Mete and Carl Alsner trying to have a bounce back year in the absence of Shea Weber until late November, probably at the earliest. That's a pretty big weakness too.
I want to just go back to the Domi situation. We all know that was going to be a suspension. Do you think on any level it was compounded with the fact that his last name was Domi and the dad, tied to his father?
No, not really. I think the act is the act, and right away, as soon as you saw it, you're like, well, that's not good.
That's I agree.
Suspension. It could have been, Prince Charles. It could have been Attila the Hun. And at the end of the day, it's just a bad play. And I think the only other time Domi's had a suspension was for an instigator late in the game, which is an automatic. It's not like he's had a checkered history with supplementary discipline. So, but nevertheless, it's complicated. The whole suspension thing gets further undermined by the fact that they don't make any money, and there's no financial penalty.
Well, exactly.
So he got the balance of the preseason. It doesn't cost him a single cent.
But that goes both ways for me, Bob. I mean, I could see players being like, you know what, if I'm going to be in a position where I'm playing aggressively, and this was stupid. This deserves a penalty. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But I could see the Players Association being like, you know what, then forget it. We're done. The players don't get paid. So why would I play? Like, if I'm a vet, why is Patrick Marleau obligated to play in the preseason? He's not even getting paid.
Yeah, well, then it would just, the NHL would come back and say, okay, well, fine, now we'll incorporate it somehow. But, you've got too many guys that don't end up making the roster, so that's why. But you're obliged to play the preseason games. It's in the collective bargaining agreement, and so it goes. But they got to figure a way around this, because it just looks silly when you suspend a guy for the balance of the preseason. And as I say, if you're a player trying to make the Montreal Canadiens, then that's a significant suspension, because it just costs you a chance to make the team. So it doesn't always end up being a totally worthless suspension. But in the case of Max Domi, outside of the penalty to the team not being able to use Domi for the rest of the preseason and try to get their line set, it's not a huge, huge, huge. I mean, there's five games left. I'll bet you Domi was probably going to play in two or three of them, if that, probably. So it's not even a five game, because he wasn't playing every preseason game. So it was probably a two or a three game suspension in the preseason with no financial penalty. And as I say, the league just looks silly. But, again, and people are on player safety, and I understand that, but I think that direction has to come from the general managers or hockey ops or Bettman or somebody that says, okay, well, we haven't ever done this in the past, but from now on, if you get a suspension in the preseason, we're just going to do it with regular season games, not preseason games.
Yeah.
But until player safety gets that direction from the guys that run the league, I would assume that's not a decision they could just make arbitrarily. They would need direction on that, and the PA would have to get involved. And again, that's where the PA represents Max Domi and the PA represents Aaron Ekblad. But when there's a hearing, the PA's in there saying, let's keep this suspension as low as possible, or let's not have a suspension.
Right.
And that's always been sort of a weird dichotomy because, as I say, they represent the victim as much as the perpetrator, but they always seem to advocate on behalf of the perpetrator. And if I was the victim, I'm not sure I'd love that, but that's kind of always the way it's been.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, I thought Pooley made a great point on the panel last night that Rasmus Sandin made his debut last night and nobody is talking about it.
You
and I were the same breed. We both born and raised in Toronto. I mean, you've been around longer than I have, Bob, but I can't recall the last time a first round pick made his debut and nobody cared. Like, what's happened to this city? What happened to Toronto?
Yeah, well, you get starstruck. You got John Tavares, and you got Austin Matthews, and you got Mitch Marner, and you got a contract situation with William Nylander, and you got high hopes that the team's not only going to make the playoffs, but go deep, and suddenly a defenseman who you know is not going to be on the team for a couple of years doesn't hold as much interest. So it's funny how that works, but it's a sign of the times, and I guess if you're a Leaf fan, it's a good sign of the times because you're so focused on the here and now and the star power they've got that you're letting guys like Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren develop naturally and organically and without any pressure to get them into the lineup.
No, it's certainly a good sign. I mean, it just speaks to how awful the organization had been for so long, where you had to attach yourself to hope. You know, it's happening in Montreal with this Kotkaniemi kid. And yep.
They can't put that kid in that lineup.
He shouldn't be playing, but you know it's coming out of Montreal. There are going to be people that are like, I want to see him, and he can make the team better.
He would have to literally play four games out of the five and be the best player on the ice in all four of them.
Right. Well, I'm not saying the team's going to have that mentality. I'm saying the fans and the media and stuff, but it's not happening here in Toronto. And as for the defense corps, what's your read on the Leafs scenario here going forward? We know Riley and Hainsey and Zaitsev and Gardner, but beyond that, what's your read?
Well, we talked about it last night, and there's a lot of competition for the 5, 6, 7, 8 hole. And the two guys that you would think would be in line for it are Travis Dermott and Connor Carrick. They signed Carrick, and he got blocked last year. He got Roman Polak last year because, you know, Babcock loved Polak, and whenever possible, Babs would play Roman as his third pair right side guy. And that often meant that Carrick ended up in the press box. And so now Polak's gone, and the natural assumption, they re-signed Carrick, so the natural assumption is, okay, well, now he's going to get his chance. Then they went out, though, and they also signed Igor Oshaganov. And Babcock loves this guy. And what we've seen so far, and he played very, very well two nights ago. I thought he was real good in the Hockeyville game in Lucan. And so suddenly, you know, he's a legit threat to be the third pair right side guy. And you got Dermott on the left side. And Dermott wants to be a full-timer, and I think ultimately he's going to be a top four guy on this Leafs team, I think. But in the short term, he's getting challenged by other guys. Callie Rosen, I thought, was really good last night. Callie Rosen is a guy who really took a step in the American Hockey League last year, more so than Andreas Borgman. And I think Rosen's a legit threat. And I know, you know, Dermott's a rising star, and I love the way he plays. And as I say, I think he's going to be a top four guy. But he's got to fend off that challenge from Rosen and make sure he's at the top of his game. Because now you've got eight guys there, and we haven't talked about Borgman, and we haven't talked about Hall. And on a lot of teams, Marty Morenson would be in the mix, but he's had so many chances with Babcock and didn't take advantage of it. The way he played in the American Hockey League last year would lead you to believe he should be in the National Hockey League, but every time he's given that opportunity under Babcock, he wasn't able to sustain what they wanted from him. And so I think even though he's technically in the mix, he's not really. So take your pick of Dermott, Carrick, Oshaganov, Rosen, Borgman, and Hall. Six guys for two or three spots.
We got something to talk about for about a week and a half.
Yep.
Until Nylander finally signs.
And as Babcock said last night, this battle really doesn't start until next week. They've got the games Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Montreal, Detroit, and whatever. And that's when I think everybody, because you're going to start seeing the pace pick up. The lineups we're going to see next week are going to be more NHL-type lineups, as opposed to this first week when you can't really get any read on anything because more than half the guys in the lineup are American leaguers or prospects.
Good stuff, Bob. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
There's Bob McKenzie, a TSN Hockey Insider. Don't forget the 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is quickly approaching September 29th at Woodbine. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca. Look for the green button that says donate.
Did we get a list of the Messier?
I don't know if we have a list.
Well, we had some pretty good
pictures.
I mean, the Shattenkirk.
Phil's in there.
Phil's in there.
Phil did go Messier, I think.
Yeah, I think Phil went full-blown Messier up top.
I think you just have to wean it off. Like, just get a little bit shorter, and then all of a sudden one day you show up and it's...
I know a guy that said you can go to San Diego and they start taking the hair from the back of your head and they sew it on the top.
I know a guy that said he could go to Turkey.
I know that guy, too.
Remember Jason Strutty?
Oh, yeah.
Strutty said.
Could go to Turkey with his hairdresser, Mo.
Make your way over to Turkey.
We have to call. Let's call him. He's just an idiot. Like, we have to talk to him.
We got to get Strutty on once a week, I think.
We'll get him on next week.
We should do that.
Maybe we'll cold call him tomorrow, see if he's
just see what he's
planning on his trip to Turkey or not.
Right. Yeah.
To sew some ass hair on his head.
Never know.
Never know.
To Turkey. Has to happen. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. The Browns are actually favored tonight. The Jays are at home. Final homestand of the year. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Just a great matchup tonight.
Who are you taking?
I'm on the Browns.
You're on the Browns?
I think they finally win a game. I want to see Baker Mayfield play, though. Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield. Get out of the way, Tyrod Taylor. I don't want to see you anymore. I don't care for anything that you represent. Get out of the way. It's Baker Mayfield time. I'd love to see him play tonight. I don't think it's going to happen, but
I want the Browns to win with the new rookie kicker. Although, I feel bad for the other kicker, Gonzalez, who got the gate.
Nobody really cares about the kickers generally, but you're saying you've got a heart for the kicker.
I do.
You have a soul.
Been there.
Prop bets tonight. Sam Darnold under the number. I think it's going to be a sloppy game tonight.
Really?
Yes. Under the number, 235.5 total passing yards. Over the number fumbles lost. I think it's going to get crazy tonight. And under the number in first half points, throw down 20, you can score $132. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So yeah, I think the Browns are favored at home. Thursday night games, generally the home team wins.
If the Browns win tonight, they actually should be 3-0.
You could make the case they should be 3-0.
I mean, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I mean...
Still, man, that's a big difference considering they were 0-16 a year ago. 1-15 the year before. Something's got to break at some point. They have to win a game at some point.
I've come across in the last 24 hours two people that I didn't know were diehard Browns fans like their whole lives.
Andy McNamara's one.
Really?
People are committed to the Browns.
But I, like...
I don't know
yesterday
why you would
in Ottawa,
be,
at morning skate, I'm walking around chatting with people, and you're talking about the Senators and saying, yeah, you know, it's one person said it's kind of got a little Cleveland Browns feel right now, just how things have gone in their last 16 months. And another person says, I've been a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan. I was like,
Well, my understanding is...
Where does that come from?
My understanding is Ontario used to get Browns games for whatever reason. Okay. Like way back in the day,
right.
Cleveland games were always on TV here. So there's actually more Browns fans than you would expect in southern Ontario, maybe up in Ottawa as well.
Right.
Because you could actually watch the game. So maybe their parents were Browns fans and then they inherited that. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm with you. I don't. If you've stayed committed to the Browns, you are a true diehard fan.
But two people, not just one, two people.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. That's the beauty of the NFL. Without a team in Canada, people just, I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah.
You know, and you attach yourself to them, and that's what it is. Jays at home, final homestand of the year, Tampa Bay in town. Russell Martin not playing again tonight. He finally reluctantly spoke with the media yesterday. He hasn't played. He hasn't started since early September. Now, he had a paternity leave in between there. His girlfriend gave birth to their first child, so he left the team for a bit.
Right.
But he's got a $20 million ticket next year. And they've basically said, you know, we're moving on from you. And they're trying to get Danny Jansen some time. They got a couple of kid catchers up with the rosters expanding to 40 men in September. But he's clearly rattled.
20 sheets.
20 million left. He's a vet. He's 35. The team's bad enough, but...
Isn't Tulo at around 22?
Yeah, about that. You got Morales next year at 11, 11 and a half.
These guys are making 20, and we're... William Nylander's battling for what, like 6'5"?
An extra like $200,000.
Who knows? Yeah, we don't know. I mean, different sports, different salary structures, everything. But it's just
something's got to give here, though. Like, I'm surprised Gibbons, like, I know they've had a conversation with him, clearly. They went to him and said, listen,
yeah,
you're out. But it's not like he's a free agent at the end of the year. That's what makes this so different. Like, he's still employed next year at $20 million, and you're telling him, just take September off, we're going to play the kids. Like, Luke Melee still gets some starts. You know, he could play at third or short or left field or something.
Doesn't
he got
two
McKinney
years left?
No, he's got 1 year after this at $20 million. Free agent in 2020.
But he's not going anywhere. Like, he's not saying,
unless
okay, I'm going to retire.
No, why would he retire?
He's got
$20 million left.
He ain't going anywhere.
Do you blame him? I mean, I called bluff on that Tulowitzki comment from a few weeks ago where he's like, if I'm not the starting shortstop, I'll
walk home.
No,
you're not. You're
no, you're
staying
not.
There.
Exactly. No, you're not, because they owe you
million.
They owe you like $60 million or something like that.
Yikes.
But the Martins situation is one to
try. Somebody actually had a follow-up tweet. Jays fans, no need to worry. If he can't start at short, he'll just walk away.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to respond to that and say, like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
He will stick it out for every cent, as he should.
Or he'll claim he's got an injury, but he's still making all the money.
Well, he signed the deal.
Well, he signed it in Colorado, then Anthopoulos acquired him. He left a bit of a drag bun for Shapiro and Atkins, but...
It's all good.
Anyway. All right, gentlemen. Noodles, you're off tomorrow, right?
I'm calling Ottawa, Chicago. I'm sure you guys will be tuning in.
Well, that's
good.
We're going to fire it up tomorrow. We'll be chit-chatting about everything starting at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.